Live, local, FM talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
This is such a good show today. We have turned the transmitter up to 11 for everyone to enjoy. We're turning it up to 11.
The transmitter?
Spinal tap, man. Spinal tap. Turn it up to 11.
Did you give? Did we give it more tranny fluid?
Anyways. Hi, I'm John Potter.
And I'm Jay Biggs. Welcome to Live and Local. Another edition right here as we inch closer and closer to Christmas on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. And
how you been doing?
Yeah, you know, it's been a very interesting week. You know, I didn't really do much Uber this week. But the weather has been kind of shifty, you know, a little back and forth.
The ice is still, all over sidewalks and everything.
But it's still not deterring you from pedaling that bike in. I still don't understand you.
It isn't. Reno didn't say anything, but Carson City came out and said, hey, it's the homeowner's responsibility to clear off the sidewalks and everything. By the way, I do bike on the sidewalk. I don't care what the law says. I don't trust the driver.
Thank you. Okay, yeah. I mean,
who's that goofus on the sidewalk on a bike?
Right.
But yeah, in Carson City, they're saying, hey, you got to clear off your sidewalks. I do it, you know, like we used to do in the old days, but Reno hasn't said anything.
Okay, I got to interrupt here. So yeah. the governments are saying, okay, clean off the sidewalks, but in front of the county or Carson City Public Works and all that, it's still snow all over the sidewalks, and those sidewalks have been cleaned. Same in front of the Capitol, except the front of the Capitol is clean, but the back of the Capitol isn't.
Well, yeah, government's good at talking, man.
Well, no, hold on now. There's a shortage of government employees because of COVID.
Oh, that is the big excuse.
That's the...
Well, you know, COVID, you know.
Well, you know, it's hey, maybe this will help climate change, you know.
Giving people such an excuse to not have something done. I'm sorry, I'm in that mood today. As a matter of fact, the news and comment is going to be mostly comment today.
Well, stuff it. As long as it's not COVID, I guess we're okay.
Anyway, I'm John Putter. That's Jay Biggs, our guest today. Rick Canale with RE/MAX Gold. The Bed Bug Relief Foundation
is
coming in.
My good friend Myrie's going to be in to talk about this. Is going to be so fun.
Nevada, yeah, bed bugs are fun. You're right.
Well, No. She's a hoot in herself. But just to know, I sat the other day, had a conversation with her about this, and it literally was like a 30-minute
connection does she have to bed bugs? I'm just curious.
Well, it's just through the foundation. Luckily,
was she
no
bitten?
Actual connection.
Was she bitten by a bed bug?
No, and she's not twice shy. So yeah, don't worry. But that being said, we're going to have her in here today as well. The Nevada Railroad Museum, Dan Thielen's supposed to stop in, talk about the Santa train again.
Cool.
And the Travel Center. Hopefully this time he can travel in.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, it was a no-show last Saturday. If it's a no-show today, I would not make a travel reservation.
It's no mo-show.
I would not
show.
Make a travel reservation there.
But let's
he sounds like a very nice man.
No, everybody. In fact, we had a lot of guests call in, asked, you know, hey, when is Taraji going to be on? But that being said, our number, 775-884-9910. I want to encourage you to always call in, talk to us, and just join the conversation. That's what we like to have right here each and every week. And also, 991fmtalk.com. You can go over there and stream us live or listen to podcasts of this episode and past episodes as well, if you'd like to.
It's all local, folks. It's all where you live. Here we go. News and comment.
Yeah.
Well, first off, happened about 5:20 this morning. We have a fatal crash in Gardnerville. Nevada State Police reporting this is on 395 by Leviathan Mine Road.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at those Caltrans NDOT cams right now. And it doesn't look like we have a significant backup through there.
Right.
I'm not even seeing. I mean, like, you can see where the incident is.
What's right by that Bartley? Move that map. Let me see.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Of course, I'm going to. By the Carter Canyon area and the Barney Riley Trailhead. So, yeah, that's where it's going to be.
Okay.
And the Subaru repair.
Now
you know where it's at, the Subaru.
But heads up on 395 that lanes might be diverted, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is a fatal, so they're going to be doing investigational work is what the deal is with that. Gardner. So, yeah.
All right, here we go. Folks, the Washoe County School District is not saying much about the teacher walkout that closed Dilworth Middle School. 27 of the 33 teachers called in sick and did not show up Thursday after a teacher was physically assaulted at the school. Yesterday, district heads met with Dilworth's principal about it. Superintendent Susan Enfield said they're addressing teacher concerns. She calls what happened an altercation. There we go, minimizing the crime here. And listen, an altercation.
Was this with a student?
Yes. An altercation. I just have to tell the superintendent. That's a heated verbal argument. This was a physical assault. Superintendent Enfield said the teacher was, quote, fine. That's the quote she gave Channel 8, and not seriously hurt. But the picture shown on News 4 yesterday showed the teacher with a bloodied forehead and blood and bruising inside her lower lip. The teacher's
what?
Yeah, teacher. Well, open up the News 4 website.
Yeah, I guess
I see it.
Well, I don't really want to go there.
The teacher says she suffered injuries to her forehead, eye, and lip after the student shoved her into a locker.
Wow.
By the way, any trauma bad enough to cause lacerations to your face is enough to cause other injuries, like to your cervical spine. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Another teacher, Jennifer Malateri, who has taught for 13 years at Dilworth, told News 4 that student behaviors have spiraled downhill in recent weeks.
Yeah.
She told News 4 that she plans to press charges. This is the teacher now, the teacher assaulted. Not the not Jennifer. The other teacher who was assaulted plans to press charges. Good. The district hasn't even announced a suspension for the attacker. And where is the teachers' union on this? Nothing
to
say?
Wow.
Violent students should never be allowed back into the schools. Superintendent Enfield said administrators are working with school staff and leadership to address the situation.
Where is Dilworth? I'm about to Google it. Where is it located at?
It's city. Yeah,
yeah. I'm just gonna
I'll show you later.
Yeah, I'm just gonna. Have to
you
look
do
it
everything
up.
On the maps.
Well, I. Yeah.
Anyway, the superintendent says they'll address the situation.
Okay, so
politician.
This is going to be over in. Okay, I just kind of wanted to.
Over in.
I hate to be like this, but I'm looking for the area because I want to know the. I want to know the area.
It's in Sparks. And, it's about 3/4 of a mile from west of McCarran on Prater.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and this is before you get into the old Target shopping center.
Correct.
Over
yeah,
Prater
it's west
all,
of
that.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are some. There's normal neighborhoods around there, but there's also some pretty bad apartments just between Dilworth and that old Harbor Freight area over there and whatnot. And
well,
and,
the superintendent said, well, it didn't say much. She did admit to, quote, a handful of incidents at the school. This sounds like so much minimizing. If there are no charges for the student from the district, that's a mistake. That is sending a message to students that this behavior is acceptable, tells the teachers that this behavior is tolerated. If they press charges with those things, a lot more of these parents would be held accountable for their kids' actions. Man, and back in my day, there'd be no way could get back in that school.
Right. This is the low-key kind of like, hey, you can go to Russia and do what you want. We'll bring you back, Brittany.
The DA should send a message. Charge him as an adult. We have been arrested and expelled from the school back in the day. Anything. Something has to change here.
I'll tell you, teachers, they don't make enough in the first place, let alone to be assaulted.
There's a shortage. You're going to lose even more teachers over this if you don't act on it. We want all students to learn, but when a handful causes violence and safety issues, how do you teach the 98% of the kids who want to be there, who want to learn? There needs to be some significant action from the superintendent ASAP. School district. Stop dancing around these problems that teachers face and become more transparent and responsive. The superintendent should apologize for minimizing this and back up her teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. They absolutely need to do that.
It's unbelievable what
You know, I mean, just the attention and with the shortage in general, even let me just, here's a conversation I had with my sophomore daughter the other day. And because they moved down here from Rainier, Oregon, which is where they used to go to school. And now they go to Damani. And at Damani, she goes, you know, Dad, like, I think our capacity is something like 45 students per class or something like that. And she goes, that's pretty much what we have. And there's no attention, you know, so that's per teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And up in Oregon, they had maybe 16 students per teacher. So think about the attention, somebody that goes to like a rural school, like let's say out in Smith and Mason Valley, you got a good teacher out there at Yerington High School or something like that. The attention you're going to get in a class versus, you know, somewhere like Damani or in any of these schools, even like Dilworth, as I take a look there, that place is overcrowded as well. Like,
well, what happened is outrageous.
This is all bad.
If you don't react right away, kids, you know, they pick up on this stuff. It's so obvious that how this student would be able to even go in that school again.
No.
And the other teacher says these assaults have happened in the past. There's a rumor that the principal was assaulted weeks ago and did not press charges. It's just outrageous.
We need to send some kids undercover in there to find out what's good. Is there like some sort of underworld going on inside of that place?
Or? And I get the sense that teachers have had it up to here.
I don't blame them.
Or they're seriously afraid to actually go back to that school if 27 out of 33 call in sick.
Maybe they've lost confidence in the school district doing anything to help them or something, you know, if something does happen. But that is something we should discuss. I mean, we do have some more news and comment, but we've got a little bit more time. So let's go ahead.
I'm just saying when you have a politician. Now, here's another example of this. Politicians mucking up the works here. Governor Sisolak wants to cancel out the death sentences, all 57 killers on Nevada's death row before he leaves office. Every single murderer. They'd escape the penalty decided on by jurors and instead serve life without parole. His spokesperson said, quote, the governor has always said that capital punishment should be sought and used less often, and he believes this is an appropriate and necessary step forward in the ongoing conversation and discussion around capital punishment. Unquote. We're discussing it again?
Yeah.
Really? I thought the judge and the jury had the final word in this.
No.
Now the politicians
have
to butt in with it.
The Nevada Supreme Court and the governor sit on the parole board and the pardons board, and they can say yay or nay.
Right.
It costs more to keep somebody.
Oh, this argument again.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's true. The National FBI did a survey on it and found out the costs, and it costs more to put someone to death than it does to keep them in prison for the rest of their life.
I get that. But again, what message are you sending here? Where's the punishment?
It actually
we're
going to
feed them on the house. We're housing them on the house. No punishment whatsoever. Don't have to worry about the rent or anything like that.
I mean, after those Twitter file dumps, Craig, do you honestly believe what the FBI does?
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
Here's what rubs me the wrong way. The politicians are deciding things that is usually left to a jury or a judge and the parole board, which is going to take this on next. Let's let the politicians decide. They know better.
All right.
Jeez.
Well, John, we should go to a break real quick and come back.
How do you punish somebody who has killed several innocent people and imagine how the victims' families feel? Really? Yeah, I'm going to wrap this up.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
The Nevada Board of Pardons may vote on this proposal at their meeting this coming Tuesday. They and Sisolak have the power to grant pardons, but the Washoe County District Attorney's Office has responded, filing an emergency petition against commuting all death sentences in the state. Douglas County's DA also said he opposes what the governor is doing. Nevada has not had an execution since 2006. We are one of 27 states that has capital punishment, though Oregon's governor just this week commuted all the death sentences in that state. Two more stories. Our Naval Air Station, Fallon, 65 miles east of Reno, may undergo a huge expansion. 558,000 acres may soon be added to the air base as public land would be transferred to the military for combat training. The Senate approved the deal this week and now goes to the president for his signature. On the other end of the deal, another 580,000 acres of land will be set aside for conservation and wilderness, and two Native American tribes in rural Churchill County will get $20 million each. Have you been thinking about adopting a pet? Good news. There are no adoption fees from the Reno SPCA today.
That's cool.
From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Subaru dealership on Kitsky Lane today. That's the news in common. I'm John Potter.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to break. Come right back. We got more to talk about right here. It's Live and Local with John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, Radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Do not miss our special Christmas Eve Live and Local with John Potter and Jay Big Show. Both of us will be singing all of your holiday favorites from 9 a.m. to noon. Jay does an awesome Rudolph. And Grandma Got Run Over. And it's next Saturday.
And we're going to do it live from the John Esquagas Theater.
Big plan. Big plans.
Hey, there we go. Anyway.
Now you're going to break my heart and say there's no show next Saturday, aren't you?
Well, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and announce that right now.
Darn.
It is Christmas Eve. Hey,
darn
even,
it.
Hey, even.
I've been rehearsing all week.
You know what? It's okay for us to take one day off out of the year. Because the following weekend, I did talk to the big man himself, Jerry Evans. Mm-hmm. All right. And I believe the next weekend, which is going to be New Year's Eve, we're going to be doing a complete 2022 recap. So I think it's going to be kind of a year in review kind of thing. It's going to be good. We have some of
nothing
our.
Nothing like us singing, but okay.
Well, I forget the name of the song that you sing on New Year's Eve, but it's the one that everybody sings.
I can never remember.
Old Ensign.
I don't. Yeah, old anxiety. That old anxiety, as you stand amongst everybody downtown New York, and John just can't remember because he's usually three or four shots into the evening. I'm sure.
I'm on the wagon now.
What?
And tomorrow?
Oh,
yeah, tomorrow
right.
I hit 3 weeks,
dude.
3 weeks.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats. You look great, actually, man. I mean, to think about it.
But I'll tell you,
he combed the hair even somewhat today.
Life is boring, though. I'll tell you.
Hey.
Okay, happy birthday to a celebrity. David Gates of the musical group Bread is 82 today. I found her diary underneath a tree. Remember that song?
It's very stale.
He thinks his wife is so happy because of him, but in reading the diary, he finds out it's another guy, and he sings, I will wish for her, his wife, all the sweet things they can find.
Oh.
Man,
okay,
I would
please.
Give that guy a knuckle sandwich.
Yeah, right.
I mean, his music. You know that scene in Animal House where John Belushi smashes up that guitar in the stairway?
Yeah.
That's what I want to do when I hear that song.
There you go. Hey, we got Kamala in on that one. You know, hey, I don't blame you. I don't think I would handle that either very well, but I'm not sure where to go with that one, John. Let's talk about something else. How about this?
All right. What bugs you this week?
What bugs me this week? Have you? I know you don't really listen to Tucker Carlson, but man,
my wife won't let me.
Well, I know she wouldn't. You would wake
now,
up.
I'm telling the truth. She don't let me.
He'd wake up. If he woke up, he'd wake up. Anyway, let's just say that. but Tucker has this week, man, they have been really talking about the CIA. It's finally confirmed. Oh, my gosh. Like we didn't know, JFK was killed by the CIA and J. Edgar Hoover.
New papers were coming out that they've been suppressing all these years.
Yeah.
And that this is what the paper said?
Absolutely. So, well, when it came out, yeah, you know, I don't know the exact verbiage of it and what was said, but definitely there is collusion between the CIA and J. Edgar Hoover in the killing of JFK. You know, so
what?
Or not? I'm sorry. My bad. Yeah. Anyway, the CIA and JFK.
I will definitely have to look into.
You've got to look into this, man. It is way off. But you know what? It is weird because I have watched. There's, of course, the YouTube rabbit holes that you can go down. And there are some people that sit there and slow down the video of JFK being shot. And even if there wasn't any sort of like CIA collusion or anything like that, then, I mean, there's some weird stuff about it. Because think about this.
Did you watch the video and see something yourself?
Well, you can see like the angles the shots came from. It doesn't make sense to where
it's been so examined already.
It's like the moon landing.
I'm surprised that some new revelation like that comes out of the film.
Well, there's always new technology, right? You didn't know what Photoshop was.
On an old 8mm movie film?
Well, yeah, no, not back then. I'm not saying that they pasted things, but you can do new technology and find out, like slow down the footage and say, okay, well, if the trajectory from the bullet came from this direction, then why is his head exploding that direction? Or why is this the, you know, like, why did this guy do this? Why did the, you know, why did this person look like they were, you know,
can look at the reflection in windows and see, you know, faces or things in windows. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought everything that had to be said about it had been said. But
that's why it's like, you know, I don't mind. At least I'm consistently consistent, because even my conspiracies and stuff that I always talk about on here, even, you know, I'm sorry, but 60 years from now, all these people are like, oh, you know, the CIA wouldn't do anything like that. They're our Central Intelligence Agency. And, you know, but think about this, that they said that that JFK shooting was by a private citizen, right? A private lone citizen.
Yes.
Okay. And then what happened to him the very next day?
Well, that
by a private lone citizen. How coincidental. I mean, Tucker was right. I'm
not so much. Jack Ruby was so upset about this. I mean, it perfectly makes sense to me. But I think back then there was a bit more honor in things and government agencies and such. I wouldn't put it past government nowadays, but back then it was a different world. Where
I like to think that, right? And that's the statement in my opinion, right there, is you would like to think, but do we know? But do we know?
Well, something to think about.
Right.
All right, we're gonna break for Fox News. We're gonna do real estate with Rick up next. It's John Potter and Jay Biggs, live and local, each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon, right here at KKFT.
99.1 and 92.3 in the Smith and Mason Valley.
Younger. Smarter. Better. FM Talk KKFT. FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk KKFT.
It's John Potter with Jay Biggs. This week, Motor Trend awarded the Ford F-150 All-Electric Lightning their 2023 Truck of the Year. What?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this in 20 minutes. It blows my mind. But first, a question. A question. Will home prices fall as interest rates rise?
Only one man can tell you whether that's going to happen or not. It's Rick Canale, our local real estate expert with RE/MAX Gold, who's in here each and every Saturday morning with us right here at 9:30 a.m. Good morning to you, Rick.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here again. And, you know, I like to let people know that I guarantee the sale of your home at your list price, or I'll pay the difference. That's one of my guarantees. And so if you need more information about that, go to rickhasbuyers.com. Today, we're going to talk about a pretty important topic because of what the Feds just recently did, and that's will home prices fall as interest rates rise? But before I get into that, let me tell you what the Feds did. And what they did this past week was they raised the basis points by 50%.
Wow.
And so what that means is that what they basically announced is that they're going to keep raising the interest rates until inflation is at 2%. We're higher than that now, obviously.
Right.
And so what's the impact going to be?
Like, 7% now?
Yeah, I think we're 7%.
And when you say 0.50 basis points, that's what, half of 1%?
Yeah, keep in mind that what the Feds do doesn't always translate into mortgage rates, but in this case, I think we're going to see that happen because that is their goal. Interest rates, you know, have doubled since couple of years ago, you know, right, when things were 2-3%.
We're about 6.5%.
And it's had very little effect on inflation. Very little effect on inflation. So what are they doing? Well, it's had a lot of effect and quickly on home prices. You know, we've seen the average drop of prices throughout the nation about $44,000. And inflation is at a 40-year high. And so the Feds, they've coined this phrase called demand destruction on the housing market. And basically what that means is that they want to cool off the housing market. They want the prices to lower. They want people to be able to afford homes, but the way they're going about it has not been effective. So we know right now that most buyers are millennials, those people who are born between 1981 and 1996. So the average age, you know, the age is between 26 and 41. And the next group is the Gen Xers, right? Those are the ones that were born right after the baby boomers, who were born between 1965 and 1980. So they're between 42 years old and 57 years old. And so most of those buyers have only seen these low interest rates. So with the Feds raising the interest rates, that's kind of had a shocking effect on buyers, because what's happened is that those higher house payments are driving the buyers out of the market. And so they're kind of sitting on the sideline waiting for prices to drop and interest rates to drop. So what are we seeing happen now? We're not seeing that happen just yet. We're seeing prices dropping, obviously, because people are not able to sell their home. And again, inflation is at a 40-year high. Okay?
Right.
And so with the Feds raising mortgage rates, it's affecting, it's not doing anything with the inflation, but it's actually cooling off the housing market so fast, that's kind of scary. We've never been in, I call these uncharted waters. We've never been in these type of situation before. And so if inflation doesn't cool down, okay, doesn't come down, rates are going to go higher.
Ooh, that's not good.
And that's what they've said. We're going to keep raising the rates until we get inflation down. And so people are kind of sitting back and they're waiting to see what happens. But what's that mean to people who are wanting to sell today?
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that since last year, about April, we've seen appreciation of a home for over last year at 5.5%. So that's good news. But with this whole change of what we're seeing now in the housing market, people are having a hard time, sellers are having a hard time adjusting to that change. So,
I mean, like trying to find a good balance between what they need to do to sell their home and how much they spend to fix it up and how much they actually
put down
payments.
Exactly what we're talking about. Okay. Very, very good points.
Right.
Absolutely beautiful. Yes. And so, there's some things that in order to sell your home, you have to do today. And you mentioned a couple of them. We'll go over those in more detail. But let me say this, that it matters who you hire as a real estate agent. And I'm not saying that because I'm one and I've got 22 years of experience, but because there have been a lot of agents that have come into the market that don't have that experience. And so they might not really understand what to do. So it's good that you do interview your agent to find out what they're going to do for you.
Yeah, just because your best friend took a real estate exam and you want to be their first sale doesn't mean you need to go with them. Go with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right. And so why do you want to hire an agent in the first place? Well, you want that agent to create demand on your home.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do they do that? Well, they do it through marketing.
And showings, listings, stuff like that, right?
Pardon me?
Showings and listings and things.
Showings, yes. So it comes back to what I've always said, those three P's. We talked about preparation, price, and promotion. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But demand is created by condition. You're preparing your home by price, by being realistic and understanding what's going on in the market.
Right.
And then by marketing, promoting your home out there so that it does create that demand. So if you have to sell, there's about four things that I would suggest that people do. Number one, make improvements to your home. Don't wait for somebody to put an offer and have your offer accepted and have a home inspection to find out that there's been some defects in your home that need fixed. Today, buyers are very choosy. They don't want to go in there and fix things up. They don't want that fixer-upper. And I know this by working with buyers. They want a home that they can walk into and not have to do this. So
have you seen the flipping market change? Like, because there was, it seemed like maybe, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, there was a huge market for people just buying up homes and flipping them. Is that changed up a lot now?
It's changed. It's slowed down quite a bit because of the cost of everything involved.
Right, right.
And
tariffs, they're terrible.
And so so go ahead and hire an inspector, find out what the defects, if any, are on your home, and then make those fixes, because it really does make a difference when a buyer goes into the home and they know that that has been done, and they can say, okay, good, we know that this home has been well cared for. And so the second thing is things that you want to focus on is on preparation.
Right.
I bring a stager consultant into people who list a home with me. And why? Because when a person looks at a home, especially online, they want to see that that home has great curb appeal. When you walk into a house, you want to be able to see that, wow, there's not a lot of clutter.
People are very physical, you know, they want to see that, the visual. There we go.
Absolutely, visual. That visual. So we want to create that internal curb appeal. We want to make sure that the flooring is cared for, that the painting has been done, the kitchens are clean and updated, the bathrooms are clean and updated, and the home is clean, that it's in good shape.
Right.
Because that's what buyers are looking for. They're looking for that home. They're going to say, hey, if I got to pay this much more money for a home, I don't want to have to do fixes. Plus, I might not have the money to do it.
Right.
And so go ahead and have that home staged, have that inspection done, and then the key, I don't care if you have all that stuff done to perfection. If you don't price your home properly these days, you are going to have a hard time selling. And it used to be, in the last couple of years, you put your home on the market, it sold quick.
Right.
Now, if you don't price this home properly, you're going to have that home sit on the market. And I hear people say, gosh, Rick, why don't I know that you're telling me that the home is priced at X, but why don't I price the home when I first list it, say $10,000, $20,000 over, knowing that a buyer is going to come less, knowing because the home prices are dropping.
Right.
Mistake. First impression.
Aha. Uh-huh.
First impression.
Is it almost like pride in the seller?
Even in pricing, okay?
Yeah.
Because this is not the market where you want to negotiate price from a higher price than what it's comparable valued at, okay, to a lower price, thinking that, well, they're going to do that anyway. You price it right, your home's going to be on the market less days, mm-hmm. and you're probably going to get higher sales point than if you were to play that situation where you price it high and keep
right
lowering the price.
Just that back and forth takes a lot of time and effort and money.
And people want to know that you're being reasonable and realistic in your pricing. And so price is very important. Again, this is not a market to price for negotiating room. Okay, you want to make sure that you get that home sold, pricing it properly, doing the preparation, making sure that the home is in good shape. If you can sell that home within 30 days, you're going to save money over time because, again, we're going to see interest rates rise until they get inflation down to 2%, and we're going to see inflation continue. So get it priced properly now before it continues to fall in price. Now, the fourth thing I want to talk about is marketing. On preparation, that's the seller's situation. They can follow and do whatever they want to with that. Hopefully, they'll follow the direction that is given to them so they can get top dollar for their home. The online marketing, that's the agent's responsibility.
Yes.
80% of those who look at a home online, what's the first thing they look at?
Pictures.
Pictures.
Yeah.
You think they'd look at the outside pictures first or the inside?
Outside first.
Outside.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
I hate to say this, Rick, but like buying a home is a lot like these dating apps. When you're going through, I mean, I know you don't know anything about that because you've had your wonderful wife for many years, but what I was going to say is it's like when you're going through, if you don't like the outside of the house, do you really even want to know what the inside is? You see what I mean? Well, I'm just saying, what I mean by that is...
I get you.
Hold on there. Yeah, so I'm just... Granny, it's curb appeal. Shocked. It's curb appeal is all I'm saying. It's like if you want to see something that you like right away, and you're like, okay, I like
don't
that.
Don't mind then him, Rick.
It's his perspective.
Yeah, that's my perspective. I'm sorry, but okay.
All right,
hey,
sir. What's your contact info?
So again, photographs are very important. Make sure that you get professional photographs, and that's what an agent will do. We'll make sure that they get that marketed properly, because people look at a home online first. And so there's a report that I recently put out, and it's how to sell your home in today's market is the winter edition, and it has a lot of good tips and a lot of good points for those who are looking to sell their home today. Plus, if you have any questions about any of these things that I'm talking about,
right,
understand that I'm not saying this just to drive down prices and make things sell fast. If you are looking to sell your home today, it's because you have to, right?
Right.
If you are just playing the market and say, hey, can I get the top dollar for this? Can I get the price that they got 2 years ago or in the last 2 years?
Right.
Don't do that, because you're just going to find a lot of disappointment in that process. And so understand that the real estate agent is going to walk you through the process. We have ethics in which we stand behind to make sure that you are well served and that you're well taken care of. So you can get this free report by going to rickhasbuyers.com, rickhassellers.com, and or you can call me directly, and gosh, please do, 775.
He's not joking.
790-0574. I'm Rick Canale. I'd like to be your realtor.
And
thanks, Rick.
He's a great guy. Seriously.
We'll
and
miss you next Saturday.
Yeah. But he's going to be back with us. We're going to do a year review for sure. You are going to be back with us, right? New Year's?
Oh,
New Year's Eve?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You bet.
We're going to – maybe we'll just do our own little countdown right here, John. Anyway. All right. Thank you very much, Rick. RickHasBuyers.com, RickHasSellers.com. And remember, each and every Saturday, except next Saturday, of course, we're preempted. But he's right here with us at 9:30 a.m. on 99.1 FM Talk.
And up next, this electric truck.
Oh, gosh.
That won the truck of the year. I got
to. John wants to talk about this oversized power wheel. It's next right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk 99.1.
It's always live and it is always local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. Don't forget, we have a podcast you can listen to about an hour after the end of each and every episode. Producer Craig puts that up at 991FMTalk.com. John Potter with me.
This week, Motor Trend awarded the Ford F-150 All-Electric Lightning their 2023 Truck of the Year. But sad news, folks, the Lightning ran out of charge on the way up to the podium to accept the award. Very sad.
We got Blake Gunther, one of our sales
but
guys, in here with us too this morning.
It has a 300-mile range, right?
Yeah.
But only 100 when you're towing something.
And those things weigh a lot, too.
Yeah.
More than your regular truck.
And
really?
And also, when it's really, really cold, you're not going to get that mileage. You know how batteries are when it's frigid. Or if you're running the AC or the heater or plugging in other devices.
In my opinion, this all makes sense, guys. Hold on a minute. That's why you have the bed of the truck, is so you can buy a giant generator, generator.
A giant Duracell battery in the truck bed.
Ooh, like those D batteries.
Yeah, just use the fossil fuel
I'm just
generator.
Saying, with all this, if the truck can't, okay, so it's cold, it's towing something, you have the AC on. If this truck can't even go 100 miles, if it's a truck that can't do truck things, you know?
Like rolling coal on Teslas?
You'd be stopping every hour to recharge, which would take about 45 minutes a pop, and that's just absolutely not.
And that's
practical.
If you have chargers at those intervals. We don't have enough chargers for that.
I have charger anxiety.
We do have a call, John. We got to go to the lines real quick here on new school laws. We've got Paul on the line with us. Good morning, Paul, and welcome to Live and Local.
Hi, good morning. Say, I tuned in just in time to hear you guys talk about the end part about the problems in the schools with discipline, and it's a problem that's sweeping the country right now. It's something called restorative justice, and I can't find the line in the NRS that sums it up. There's one provision that really sums it up, but basically, is non-punitive remedies to students that are out of line. Restorative justice sounds great in theory, but you can't implement it, and it's failing all over the country. And our assembly passed some laws a while back, and they went into effect June of this year. And it was stuff that was they were working up to because they had to be ready for it. But it basically says that you can't expel the students; you have to take them and do counseling with them to take care of the discipline problem. And it's just
I didn't say anything about expelling. I said they have to be charged if there is a physical assault. If you don't charge them, the message is sent.
But if you can't expel them for stuff, it's gone beyond the charging. They don't charge them either. The idea is if you charge a student with something, you stigmatize them for the rest of their lives and da-da-da-da. It's crap.
As being a violent offender or something.
Well, then that's up to the student to not do that and to keep their, do the right thing if they don't want that record.
We just can't accept it. It's just ridiculous.
No, we can't, but it doesn't work. But our legislature passes stuff, and the school's trying to operate in that. And a lot of the school administrative staff thinks this is the right thing to do, too. But unfortunately, it's impacting the safety of the teachers and the other students. There's situations
it won't
where...
work.
No.
I hear you, sir. I'm sorry.
We lost Paul. All right.
But
you know,
when the politicians make the rules instead of being in the real world of things,
right?
It's just a mistake.
Okay. Well, either way, Paul, thank you for your call. And remember, 775-884-9910 is our number. We're going to be back live right here next segment. We're talking bed bug relief.